The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now can we just rise to our feet again? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms number 2. And from there, declare the glory of the Lord this morning. One, two, let's go. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, say, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, as was for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Father God, we lift up your name this morning. Lord Jesus, we lift up your name this morning. We declare that indeed you are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are our Lord. You are the governor amongst the nations. Thank you for giving us your life and putting the life of God in us. Thank you. Because we are not hopeless. Thank you. Because we are not without God. Thank you. Because we know the Creator and we can call him Father. We give you all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning again, our hearts are open. We have come with one desire, not to be entertained, but to be transformed. Lord, let your spirit flow into our hearts this morning by the entrance of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We trust that you are doing that for us. Therefore, we declare boldly as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. He's giving me light and direction. He's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Now, I want to start teaching today from the book of 1 John. We'll read from chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. It says the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, I want to just remind us of something. That's why I read this. As we continue to look at how to escape the effects of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've taken that text of scriptures many times from the book of Genesis chapter 2. And we remember that Adam and Eve, God kept them in the garden, which he planted eastward in Eden. And he put two trees there. I don't need to do too much re-preaching of a story we all know very well. He put two trees inside there. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It instructed them, don't eat this one. And again, till today, God is telling us, don't eat this one. You see what I'm saying in a moment. Now, what does that one mean? We have seen that eating that one means I make the decisions of my life. Eating that tree, eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, means that my opinion is final. It means that I am my own Lord. That's what it means. It means I don't take instructions from, first from God, and then from people who claim they know more than me. And as a human race, we decide what is right and what is wrong. I've explained that again and again that you see, a very clear manifestation of that tree, eating of that tree, is that we have an institutionalized set of instructions that's founded upon the fact that there is no God. And we call that school. Do you understand? Yeah. So people go to school, and the whole of biology, that's my own field, I know the biological sciences, the whole of biology, if you hear them talking, it's always, it has evolved. Do you understand my point? They'll tell you that the insect has evolved a complex eye. So the insect has these compound eyes because it has evolved to. Now, it's all a lie. Now, what I'm trying to say, even those who are teaching it, they know it can't be true. These things are so complex, they could not have arisen by chance. And recently, either earlier this year or late last year, now I've forgotten the time frame, two scientists proved by a mathematical model that what they call the infinite monkey theory is not possible. What they call infinite monkey theory is that if you just leave a monkey because it doesn't think, doesn't know how to write, doesn't know language, let him just be striking the keyboard randomly, that eventually we strike out on the keyboard the complete works of Shakespeare by chance. That what is needed is time. That the random striking of keys, okay, we eventually produce logical sentences, logical statements, a full story. Not just a full story, but several stories, poems, drama, written by William Shakespeare. Do you get my point? Now, if you don't think much about it, that is just think randomly, it should be possible, it's randomness. But they now sat down mathematically and showed that they can't, in the extent of life, the extent of time that the earth is purported to have, the universe is purported to have existed by scientists, that time is not even enough to make one correct sentence. That if you give a monkey to be striking, in 14 point something billion years, let's assume it's striking one a second, a key, it would not have been able to construct a sentence like, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Basically, randomness never produces order. Anytime you find order, it was put in by an intelligent person. I always like to quote one man. His name is very complex, so I can't pronounce it. All right? He's a Sri Lankan, all right? But a professor in somewhere in the UK. A professor of mathematics and what he calls, I think it has other astrophysics, but he's a professor of those kind of things. He was trying to talk about he's not a Christian. He's not a Muslim. He doesn't believe in God the way you and I believe in God. He's a Buddhist. He was invited to come and testify. There's a particular board in one of the states in America who wanted the theory of creation put inside the teaching of biology. So they had to go to court to say, creationism is not based on religion. It's based on fact. Because, you know, the system, like let's use America now, where this happened. The system is that you cannot teach in schools religion as science. So it's like, you can't do that. Let's make it a long story short. You can't do that. But they were trying to say, this is not religion. That the idea that somebody made the heavens and the earth and the living beings, or some people did, let's not go into monotheism or polytheism now. That is not religion. It's science. So they decided to invite this man as an expert witness. Okay? And I like the testimony he gave. Now, he's not a Christian. So they invited him as a scientist. And he gave an illustration. And the illustration was very interesting, that he was talking about the likelihood of forming the simplest life by chance, forming a particular enzyme in a bacterium. What's the likelihood of forming it by chance? He said, imagine that you fill a stadium with people randomly. They just walk in, they buy tickets, and they want to go and watch a game. And this stadium can, now let me use my own figures now. You can see maybe 25,000 people. And they walk in, 25,000 people walk in randomly. And they sit down. Then you go and check. And you find out that they've sat without anybody arranging them, randomly, in perfect alphabetical order of their names. Do you get my point? 25,000 people walk into a stadium, and they didn't talk to each other ahead of time. And they just went like that, in perfect alphabetical order of their names. So that's how logical, if you think that can happen, so that's how logical it is for you to think the simplest life, for me, one simple enzyme, could have happened by chance. He said, now, not in one game. And you go and they do it in 10 consecutive games, and nobody told them how to sit down. So if you think that can happen, then you can believe that that bacterium came randomly. That what he has described is far easier than the real thing that happened in the bacterium. That it is far easier. That was his own easy way of explaining to a non-scientist what life was like or is like. Now, please, for your information, he said more things. I like that because the man was not a Christian. He was not a Muslim. He was trying to explain the scientific facts that people are ignoring. That is called eating of the knowledge of good and evil. So, the host of science has said, this is what we believe, that we are God. We are the first on the scene, the intelligence now. That doesn't mean first in chronology now, but in hierarchy, we are number one. No one is above us. We launch rockets or space probes to see whether we can understand the origin of life. And you know, because I read some of those things, I follow them, I'm always reading. And I keep laughing. You know why I'm laughing? I say, what will you see that will tell you anything? Because every time you discover something, you say, it will let us know what happened the way life started. And I've watched all this. There's nothing that's telling you anything. You just keep, it's like Solomon said, to the making of books, there's no end. You just keep searching because the truth is already with you. And you rejected it. So God has given you over to a fruitless, eternal search. That's what he does. The truth is already with you. You know, something happened, you know, of course, it happens to all of us all the time. Okay, so just that it happened to me recently. I said, it was so funny. I held something in my hand and I started looking for it. Has it not happened to you before? It happens all the time. You know, and it's in your hand. It's in your hand. Sometimes it's your keys. You want to lock the door. And you're turning the pill upside down. You check, where could this key be? Why? You picked it in your hand and you didn't think about it. You only find that key when maybe it jingled, something made it jingle, or you need to use that hand. So you need to remove it. Oh, this key is here. Now, if nobody showed it to you, you will search the whole house. You will never find it. Why? Because you that are looking for it, you are the one holding it. You already have it. So that's what happens. Why they keep looking is because the truth has been revealed and they rejected it. And God said, okay, go on your eternal search. Just keep searching. Just keep searching. That is the fruit of eating. That is the result of eating that fruit. It's confusion. I saw one lady. Is it a lady or a guy? But she was dressed. It was, the word they use is they. They was dressed. No, English has been messed up by these gender issues. They was dressed. It's one person. They. was dressed as a woman, so that's why I said one lady. When she finished, oh God, when they finished speaking. Now, I'm using that because I don't know what really that individual was. Okay, it's a he. Yeah, let's follow something. It's a he. But he was now a woman. But this point I'm making, at the age of maybe like 18, she started feeling like I'm in the wrong body, which is a demonic spirit whispering to you, okay? And then she went for this for therapy, and they told her that she's actually transgender. That was the early days of gender ideology. So they started giving her drugs anyway, giving this him drugs to convert him to a woman. And they went for sex change surgery, which is quite devastating. Do you understand? They cut off your body parts. They do all of that. Yes, they did do that. And then they try to fashion female organs for him, which you really cannot fashion the real ones. I mean, you don't make ovaries and uterus out of. You can't. You can't. There's no science for doing that. All right? The only one they may try to do now is transplant. All right? Good. I know they would attempt that. They most certainly will. These people are crazy. They will do things like that. But she went on and on and on and on. Was testifying before a judicial, but not judicial, what they call it. Like a lawmaker's sitting. You know, when they want to make a law, they have a public hearings and all of that. It was a public hearing of the Senate of House of Reps in America, of their own state. So I think the Senate of their own state. So, and when she said that, oh, it was a mistake. Later on, she, of course, her life was full of regrets. His life was full of regrets. But where I'm going is that, what was the regret about? Wrong diagnosis. Actually, she was not transgender. She had PTSD. Trauma from this and that, that was internalized. She's an internalized homosexual. That when they finished, I said, why can't you just admit that you need to know God? All these stories you are telling, it's not what happened. At the end of the day, when she, now she was, this person, he was campaigning against legalizing sex change for children. That is regrettable, that she regrets, don't mind my pronouns, just getting confused, that he regrets everything that has happened to him. Now he's a woman, dressed up like a woman, makeup, hair, do everything like a woman. Because according to him, a doctor made a wrong diagnosis. But the painful part was that the other doctors that tried to solve the former doctor's diagnosis were also making pointless diagnosis. Fruitless. All of this because people rejected a simple statement. In fact, I watched one thing. It was captioned, the devil that started this whole thing. There was a doctor who said that the idea of whether you are male or female is your training. It's not real. So when you behave like a man, it's because we're taught to behave like a man. When you behave like a woman, it's because we're trained to behave like a woman. Now, please, for those who don't know, in case you are listening to me, I know science. All right? I'm a trained medical doctor. Like when I'm preaching, people don't believe that. They think maybe I'm an accountant or I studied engineering. No, I studied medicine and surgery and specialized in a field called anatomic pathology. So I know what I'm saying. Part of my job is to study molecular things. Okay? So I know this very well. Down to the bottom, that is the molecules. The difference between a man and a woman is clear. If you're arguing over colors, don't ask a man, ask a woman. Men don't see colors well. They are not wicked. It's not unrighteousness. It's pigments in the eyes that are coded on their X chromosomes. Yes. That's why, so don't be angry with women that keep on saying, this one is fuchsia pink, this one is orange pink, this one is heavenly pink, this one is satanic pink, this one is, you know. They have all kinds of, they are not lying. You are looking at them, you guys know, they're kidding. They are not lying. The pinks and reds are actually different. You are colorblind relative to them. You understand the point? The men. They don't see colors as well as women. So just for you to know, whether you're a man or a woman, it's not only in your DNA, all right? It's in the molecules of your body. It affects your mind. small aside to help married people. All right? You just have to recognize that your wife doesn't think the way you do. And women too, is the same thing. Do you get my point? What you think is not what he's thinking. And there's a reason why God had to put order in the house. Because if all of us have to do what we think, so he just told the man, what you will do, Bobo, is that you will put her interest, what will be of benefit to her first. Do you understand? Bobo said, yes, sir. Then, baby, you know what you will do? You allow him to lead. If he's feeling, forget. These are real feelings. And so that's why it's a cause quarrel. That's why people, you know, if you don't understand the principle of God, you know, I keep on saying marriage is such a bad idea. Only God could have invented it. What I mean by that is that it's only him that can make it work. It's only him. Because without the God factor and God arrangement, without the God arrangement inside it, it's impossible. Now, but where I'm just going there, so please don't forget that these people, as men and men, women, are really different. But that guy was saying that they are not different. There is training. So he experimented with a human being. An unfortunate child was experimented with, who finally committed suicide, and they don't talk about it. I don't want to go into detail about experiments with you. Somebody came to the hospital anyway, just say something about the child. So I encourage the parent that no, let's not take care of this child. Let's raise him as a girl. And he was following them up regularly. That boy that decided to raise as a girl because he had one small problem. Eventually, in his 20s, he committed suicide. And that truth was subdued by the satanic arrangement, by the devilish principle pushing this their gender ideology. That the person they experimented with was so frustrated with life, he killed himself. But this is what happens when we just say we are top of the pack. We make the decisions. No, you don't. There's no alternative. See, let me say something to you. Christianity, let me drop the word Christianity for a moment. Please, don't be angry with me. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Religion is not for the religious. Religion is life. It's the foundation of life. When you get into religion, you know there's no one like Christ Jesus. That's why we are Christians. By him, all things were made. This life is absolutely meaningless without acknowledging the fact that somebody bigger than you, who you may not see, started this whole thing. Somebody bigger than you, who is out there, who has a will, started this whole thing. Do you get my point? If you don't acknowledge it, you will go mad. So, nobody should come and see, this life, the life, please, young people, don't believe it. They have a way of mocking Africans. They show you Chinese people sewing, you know, or coupling machines. And they show us in church praying. Please, never fall such nonsense. Otherwise, God will destroy your works. I'm warning Christians. God is very strict with believers. It's an absolute lie, number one. Well, we know the fact. We also have factories. When you go in there, people are working. We also have hospitals. You go in there, people are working. Anytime you put that thing beside church and people praying, you are deliberately mocking the knowledge of God. The people you are talking about, they have their own form of worship or somebody before them worship. Let's not even talk about that. But please, you as a believer, do not forward around such nonsense. It's an insulting rubbish. I believe God doesn't like it. People always try to make it look like the problem of Africa is that they pray. Yeah, that, you know, they keep on presenting prayer as a problem. So when they show you people, you know, arranging things, they will show somebody else praying. As if the fellow arranging did not pray. One day, a man walked up to me here in Kingdom Wood. I didn't know who he was, but because of his age and all that, I give respect to such a person. He came He requested to talk with me. Those are those days. If it's now, of course, I set that rule after that. No matter who you are, before you talk to me, you talk to somebody else first. Tell the person what you want. They do not decide that whether I should come and talk to you. You say, Pastor, are you not feeling too big with yourself? Well, that's your problem, really. Me, I just have to put order in my life. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. Yes, because I've heard all kinds of nonsense. So, I like it filtered away before I have to attend to it. But anyway, he came up to me and said that it was his first time of coming. And that day happened to be teaching on, I think, the saints of God. I can't remember for sure. I think it's the saints of God. So it got to the point in which we talked about the fact that God wants his children to prosper. Anyway, those of you who have listened to me long enough, you generally know my teaching on those things. So I was talking about God delights in the prosperity of his servant. God wants his children to prosper. It is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. I describe all of those things, which we all know is scripture. So he interpreted it as if, basically, anyway, you can easily deduce how he interpreted it by when I tell you what he told me. So he required to see me. I thought he wanted to just greet me and all of that. So he came in. So he sat down. And this rascally old man thought he had the right to come and correct a preacher he was hearing for the first time. If you're decent enough, you just walk away and leave the man in his trouble. It's your first time of listening to him. So I listened to him talk. What was he saying? He said, look, that at least hear what I was saying, but he finds a kind of disconnect. Now, at that point in time, I didn't know the meaning of the word disconnect. No, seriously, you guys may be laughing. The truth is that the only disconnect I know is electrical. It was electrical. Yes. So, disconnect is unplug that wire. Cut the wire. EEDC, the power company, you didn't pay their bills. They've come to disconnect. The only disconnect I knew was electrical. It was from his mouth. It really hit me for the first time that there's something called disconnect in life, in practical life and stuff like that. What's he? I was confused. He finds a disconnect. So I was like, who disconnected who from what? I'm like, ah. But anyway, from more things he said, I was able to decipher that what he was saying is this. That people who believe what I'm saying, like his son, he was big enough to have a graduate son, was not a small child. Okay? They are lazy. People who believe this thing I'm saying, they don't work. So he sat down and explained to me that his son is there. Maybe his son is a Christian. And he's believing God and all of those things. And so, I finally got what he was saying. I said, is this what this man is saying? Ah, God. But I had to just behave myself. I said, is this your first time here? He said, yes. So you have not heard me preach before? No. I said, good. I said, because the people I'm talking to, they know me. At that point in time, my wife walked in to pick something and then just greeted him and then walked back out. I said, that lady that walked in is my wife. She's an accountant by training. She used to work in a bank. Now she does private business. I said, I am a university lecturer. I teach in 3 universities. I'm a consultant in a teaching hospital in this city. I said, the people I'm talking to, they know me. They know my wife. And they know I'm not telling them what you think I'm saying. God wants us to prosper is why we work. If we felt God did not want us to prosper, we'll cross our legs, pick our teeth. It is the Lord thy God, I didn't tell him this, I'm just adding it to it for us here. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to make wealth. If you check the literal Hebrew, actually it said to make strength. Do you know, when I told him my personal profile, look, I'm not lying to you. I saw his face change. I said, you think I'm a professional preacher who gathered people to scam them? No, boy. When I finished preaching here, on Monday, I'm in a 4th-year medical class teaching them the foundations of disease. Yes. That's the job I do. I said, wait. On Tuesday, I'm there examining people's troubles and writing reports for surgeons to determine how to treat people. Look at this one. Look at this one. No, I didn't tell you, look at this one. Then at the end of the day, okay, he stood up and introduced himself. He showed him that he's a lawyer. I said, that is why. He said, you're talking. You don't. Those of you are lawyers, they're going to be angry with me. Eh? You want to come and speak English for me? Tell me, disconnect. The disconnect I know is electrical. I'm not a lawyer. I tell my children, disconnect that phone. They know what I mean. I told the guy that, they said, no. Don't, look, please, it's very important. Don't have the impression that those who pray don't walk, and those who walk don't pray. Your walk will be fruitless. You will gather and put in pockets with holes if you don't pray. If God doesn't bless you, your labor will come to nothing. You don't pray? You don't pray? Please, I just want to add down. So, please, stop forwarding around rubbish. They show you a Chinese military marching. Then they show you Nigerian police, you know, scattered. There's the time to scatter. There's the time to march in order. Look, I'm not making mouth. Nigerian armed forces, they march better than American ones. Yeah, they do. They do. Not because they are better human beings, but because the rule is different. I've seen American soldiers march to, you know, you see them in movies and all that. You call this march? See, I worked in Nigeria. My NYSC was in Nigeria Army, 3rd Mechanized Battalion. See the discipline amongst our soldiers. I used to see them iron their clothes, their uniform. They will starch the thing, iron, they must go out to work like that. You know, I just thought because they're in the barracks. No, every morning, everybody in that barracks will dress in their uniform. If any soldier doesn't want to wear a uniform, he comes to me and begs, Oga, please, I no go fit. So what is it? What is your problem? That his waist. I have to write a doctor's, you know, excuse. Please excuse him from wearing a belt. He will carry the paper in his pocket that doctor said he shouldn't wear a belt. Because he can't move around the barracks with that his belt in proper place. Remember when I do a TikTok video and be telling you, and you'll be laughing. Please don't find it funny. They can't be insulting your father, you find it funny. They're insulting your home and you're laughing. I don't find those things funny. They now pick Chinese at their best. And compare it to you at your worst. And you are laughing. That's why you will sell your best right and go and be a slave in another country. Because you don't value that which God has given you. I beg, that's not my message. Anyway, I was saying that it's when we say we are the ones to worship. That is like we worship ourselves. We are the ones to be worshipped. And what we mean by that is the rules we make. That's the final authority. But it's not true. At the end of the day, we always give birth to confusion. We always give birth to confusion. Eventually, civilization will be scattered. Eventually, civilization will be destroyed. Like somebody was talking the other day. I was talking to some people. He said, Donald Trump, you know, he's doing a lot of funny things right now. You know the way the man is. You know the way the man is a strange human being. Let's just put it like that. But I was in a discussion with some people about on Wednesday, and we all agreed that he's God's deliverance for America. I don't care how crazy the things he's doing, but fundamentally, he's God's deliverance. One of my colleagues said that country would have been gone in 10 years. He said something like that. Why? Because, of course, if the man said if you are transgender, they would discharge you from the military on medical grounds. Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense. According to the military, you're affecting their lethality. That's how the military describe it. Our ability to mount lethal attacks. You're affecting it. No, you think about it. Generally, were you not in hostel? Some of us in secondary school. It's boys' hostel and girls' hostel. Under Barack Obama, boys could stay in girls' hostel. Yes. When I see Americans, this is complaining about Donald Trump, I say, but you guys set up the stage for God to give you Donald Trump because it's the deliverance of God. As soon as he came into office, he said to them simply, guys, in this country, this last swearing in, the second tenure, we recognize only male and female. It's decided at birth, it cannot be changed. The guy, if they are a passport section, you don't, they go back to the birth certificate. What is on it? They put in your passport. Whatever you say you are is your problem. What did God say you are? You are male. Yeah. And he said, if I see a woman, to a man, in female games, they are looking for my trouble. Now, where I'm going is that my friend said, look, this guy is deliverance because he just brought simple common sense. He said, all the guys in military, please, guys, if you are trans something, transit to your house. Don't do it inside the barracks because it makes it difficult to run the military. Okay, you tell me now that you are transgender and you are a man. So I'm supposed to put you, when we go to war, where? In which barracks? It's of course, do you follow my point? Now listen to me. This is what happens anytime you reject God. There's no this thing about it. There's no need of getting angry. It will always happen. According to David Pawson, it is not because, is that God is not angry with what is happening. It is a sign that God is already angry. So God gives them over to foolishness. The depravity of the mind. They start doing crazy things. That's what he does when people reject the knowledge of him. Please, I'm explaining again the meaning of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen, you have trouble in your house if you eat of that tree. You have trouble in your business if you continue consuming that tree. So this whole life, that's what I started with today, is built on it. So be careful. Now, when you are doing anything now, I know fleshly women don't like me. The more you don't like what I say about women and marriage and husband and all of that, the more carnal you are. Now, that is not me trying to oppress you because I'm the preacher and you are not. That's me telling you the truth by the Holy Spirit. You know, I won't say that if I didn't mean it. Because I've seen a lot of times when I say some things, women will react as if they are joking. Please stop cracking that joke when I get to the spiritual aspect of things. I'll let you know when I'm joking. Don't drag your face. Don't sneer. Don't do, If I'm speaking, the more you do that, the more you reject the spirit I'm releasing. And it's for your joy and happiness and prosperity I'm preaching. So you can do the will of God. No, seriously. I told my wife long ago that I'm going to correct that thing. I see some things. Women always like, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm speaking by the spirit of God. You are not allowed to sneer when I'm doing it. Even if you don't like it, just be silent. Don't mock. You know, let me tell you something, by the way. These little things drive away the spirit behind something. You don't question the Holy Spirit. So, and many times what he wants to push to you, do you get, is not what you were thinking. It's not what you were expecting. You know why I'm saying this? Now, I've dropped that word briefly. Let me get what I'm trying to say. Be careful about eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in every area. When you buy books on romance, I want to tell you, and marriage, that is one, and business, those two areas, are some of the biggest areas where they are packed fruits plucked directly on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Directly. And they sound nice. They sound nice. Let us assume we're living our lives the way we borrowed from Hollywood and Nollywood. Now, please think about it for a moment. And then one Paul shows up on the scene. And one Peter shows up on the scene. And they start with, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Now, please, just think about the reaction you will get where even Christian women are gathered. Especially when you go and read Peter in Amplified Bible. Many women won't let him come to some churches. If they invite him, there was a day somebody wanted to invite me for a program. I can't remember the program now. Some people gathered behind and said, don't you know what he will say? I'm not kidding. There was a protest because he said, you know what he will say? It's not whether it's true or not. It's because he won't enjoy it. Yet, what Paul and Peter were teaching were taught to them by the Lord. And it was a way by which they would go back into walking in the garden. Now, I was thinking about this a few days ago. That like joke, like joke. You watch most American movies that have to do with, okay, like now, there's one particular one now. And I can't remember the name of the movie. If I remember, I won't tell you. So I don't want to send you to them to watch movies. But this guy, it was Sandra Bullock. Don't worry, she acted scores of him, so you won't know which one. She acted as a, it's a real, it's based on a true story. And it, according to the guy, they did it fairly well. But if you watch the film, the woman was bossy, overbearing, dictated everything they did in their house. Everything. The husband is driving. He said, I don't remember his name, but let's just say, Phil, stop. The guy will stop. Go back, let's pick him up. And then she'll come down, and Phil and his son will look like, ah, your mother, Sha. They always did what she said. But you see, in the movie, they did a good thing. They took a poor black kid and turned him to a star. All right? It's a pure white, very rich family. And they took this boy virtually off the street. Not really off the street, but, you know, like, he was homeless, really. He couldn't go home and all of that. And the woman virtually adopted the boy. Lived in their house. Even her friends were like, what are you doing? But he was very athletic. He became a star, all right? That's why they made the movie about his life. But I watched the movie. I said, at the end of the day, what did they pass across subtly? Women, don't be submissive. It doesn't help poor people. Many of us may not know. It's done deliberately. According to Jordan Peterson, they keep on fighting what they call the patriarchal, how do you pronounce that word? Patriarchal system of this world. They feel like women are oppressed because the head of the home is what? A man. The head of everything, they know man, so that is patriarchal. So inheritance most of the time will pass on to the man who was the king after he has the first daughter, second daughter, third daughter. Then he has the first son who's 10 years younger than the first daughter. Then the man that is the son becomes the next king is against the women. And then they keep on putting up for you how many CEOs in this world are men versus how many CEOs are women. And they talk about gender inequality in pay. Now, first, just by the way, most of the time, these are conjured lies. Yeah. You won't know if you don't until people... Ah, there was a time. America football team, the female one, they won World Cup or something like that. And they decided to sue because they were paid less than the men would have collected. And this football association decided to reply them. Even though Joe Biden was president and was on their side, the association said, like, we are going to court with you. The judge virtually insulted them. Yeah, you know why? Those who did not know that they were offered exactly the same deal as a man. Exactly. But they went for the other deal, which favored them better. You either work full-time for the National Association, in which case you get monthly payment, whether you're playing or you're not playing, whether you win or you don't win, you get monthly payment, you get insurance, you get health benefits, you get the things that come with employment. But then when tournaments happen, you won't really get any, if you win anything, there's no big reward. But for the men, they said, look, they don't get anything unless they play a tournament. And they only get real money if they win. So you get this round, you get that. You win this round, you get this. Win the final cup, this money you get. So they offer the same deal to the women. And they reason that, no, it's better to have the regular pay. Unfortunately for these women, they now won a tournament. They now wanted the peck that came with winning for the men. And put on before the press that look at gender inequality. And Joe Biden supported them. The association said, we are waiting for you in court. So they went to court and presented the facts. And the judge like, who can you people are criminals? This is a deal you signed. Why are you being greedy? Now you have won a tournament now. You now see that we should have collected it. The judge was very angry with them. The case, you know, it's online. If you look for it. So a lot of stories they tell you. This is where I'm going. It's just to subvert God's order. Do you follow my point? Is to subvert the order of God. I'm not even here to talk about. In fact, there's one particular woman I read. She's a Catholic woman. Wrote her own talking about men and this. He said, please, I like the way it is. Because abroad now, if you, in many of those countries, not everywhere, but many of them, if you go to eat with a woman and you offer to pay, it's an insult. Yeah, it's an insult. Why should you offer to pay? Are you trying to say she can't pay? If you're about to, you know, some of these things that they said is courtesy, take care of a woman. You walk to a car and you go and open the door for the woman to enter. You close before you go to your own side. It's an insult. You're a chauvinist. And you are misogynistic, whatever. There are words that came up in recent years that Pharaoh did not know about. You know? You get to my point. Yeah. So men are now torn. In fact, that's why people like Jordan Peterson, even this crazy guy, what is his name? Andrew Tate. That's how they became popular. That was why they became popular. Because they suddenly gave men a rallying point. Andrew Tate just says crazy things. But guys followed him because the option was emasculating them entirely. Yeah. So that woman now wrote. Is that seeing statistics like there are more men as the neurosurgeons than women? That you see, the admission is skewed towards men. They said it is not true. They give the women the option. And no one wants to die taking care of other people. I don't know about current figures, but last time, what is his name? What's the name of the most famous neurosurgeon we know in this world? Ben Carson. I said, last time he wrote, he's retired now, of course. He said that the American neurosurgeon had 10 years shorter average lifespan than the average doctor. And the women saw it. Say, God did not send me for this stress. The woman who wrote this is a doctor. Yeah, she said, no, I'm not doing. He said, if there's noise downstairs, let my husband go and check. I am not going out to check who's the intruder. Let him pay for everything. He said, I like it like that. Yeah, the woman said, when we go out, open the door. I'm not planning to open the door. That's what some people are doing. My hand, no day. Because you see, let's go back to the scriptures. The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He loved her so much, he gave himself up for her. Then after that, he began to wash her with the washing of water by the word, constantly taking care of her. The woman said, take care of me. I like it like that. Sometimes my wife will make some demands and I just know that she just wants to be wife. You don't get my point? Because we are still alive. Give me one gist and she'll make you laugh. My wife's not around now, you understand? She just asked me yesterday, okay, so how am I coming back? I said, like, what? It was the way she said, matter of factly. So I will go. So how will I come back? We went for a particular function. We got there. She stayed behind. And I sent a car. Please, go and bring her back. You know why? Love your wife as what? Christ. It was the way she said, how? It wasn't like a transportation or... No, just look at me and say, so how am I coming back? It's like you are supposed to have arranged for how I will come back. Because you are going to leave me there, you are coming back immediately. Next day I will come back. How? Whether grudgingly or happily, it is my job to ensure she comes back safe and sound. It's scripture. I'm not looking... Look, God said, love your wives. I'm not looking down on her. But you know, in the world today, they say that's what I'm doing. She's a human being the way I'm a human being. She's an adult the way I'm an adult. She has a brain the way I have a brain. So that means I will do, and so she can take care of herself the way I would take care of myself. Somebody say foul. Say foul like you believe it. The moment she married me, God said, Banky, take care. I don't care how strong she is. Take care. Do you follow my point? Please, I'm going over this again and again. The meaning of eating of the tree. So, please, when you are doing your business, when you are living your married life, everything you are doing, please watch out for books written for those who consume daily of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Beware. I say to people all the time, see, many of the books you read on planning your life, planning your retirement, planning things, they were written for people who got cursed. Now, let me get back to the main meat of today's message, because I was trying to revise something. That's why I went to all of that. They were written for people who got cursed. If you want God's blessings, you will ask yourself, those who God blessed, how are they supposed to live? I keep saying this. Christianity is very radical. Christianity is close to carelessness. The only way you will know somebody is not careless about his or her future, they just want one trick. I've not found the second one. I've been preaching this thing for years. I've not found the second one. If you want to know this fellow, please, young women, I'll give you as an example. A poor man wants to marry you and doesn't have a plan for his future that you can see. Some people will... One of my friends wanted to marry one time. The woman gave him condition. I said, well, don't take it. Yes. Men, never take any... Women too, don't take condition. Look, don't marry with condition. Now, I want to say one that will make you laugh. I will marry if you will stop smoking within 1 year after we marry. Let me tell you the truth there. That guy will never stop smoking. You know why? Because God will make sure he doesn't have that power. Do you get my point? Johnny, I'm marrying you because you promised that within 1 year, you will stop drinking. You are very foolish. Now, those are even the serious ones, all right? But there are some things that look good. My friend was going to get married. His wife was in this city. He was in one village. So the wife begged him that whether he will move to the city, he said no, when they get married. The guy said no. I run a clinic in the village, somewhere in Imo State. That's where I shall stay. The woman doing, the guy said, I don't agree. Finally, she went to her office. She used to teach in UNEC. She's a lecturer. I said, told them that, please, I'm going to be getting married. You guys know, so I'll be leaving you people low because I have to relocate back to where my husband. After that, the man has settled. And I informed her that actually he's planning to come to the teaching hospital here to do residency program. Of course, she was so excited, but he made it clear that I'm not married with conditions. I'm not married with conditions. Yeah, seriously. All right? People really don't change. Yes. Really. Okay? This is where I'm going. Now, I'm not saying they don't improve. I didn't say that. And I'm not saying you should not improve. You say, Pastor Frank, people don't change. I will never change. You misheard me. You get my point? What I just mean is that you go and don't enter into a covenant with that in mind. Do you follow what I'm going to say? But okay, let's get back. So you marry a man asks you, he's not rich yet. He doesn't have a clear plan for his future. You think. And he says, God. Now, when people throw God in your face, half of them are lying. Actually, in Nigeria today, it's 90%. Okay? So when I say half, just that because some people may be in one part of Australia now who are believing God mostly. And when you say God, everybody behaves. So let's just average around. That's why I say half. Sometimes it's nothing but irresponsibility. You want to put the blame on God. But other times, it's actually genuine faith. Alexander Dowie, I read his book, John Alexander Dowie. I read his book. And he had that phase in his life. When he told his wife that, look, at that time, he couldn't describe the future clearly. That like he's passing through a valley covered with mist. So he can't see clearly his future. But I know that the person who's leading him essentially knows where he's going. And one day they are going to clear this misty area.
and come out on the top of a mountain. That's what he told his wife. So if a man tells you that, now the question now is that, how do we know the one that's telling the truth and the one that's just using God as a cover up? It is simple. Just one thing I have found out after all these years of teaching along this line is check what he's doing now. How serious is he with it? And the meaning of that word is faithfulness. If he's a driver in civil service, and you see the way he's, government car, is not, you see them on the road. There's a way somebody would drive on the way. I just checked the license plate. I see FG. I say that is why. There's a way you are driving. See, one SUV will just pass by. You look at it. Enugu State government. You see, that is why. This car is not his own. Yes. He feels empowered because he drives for the government. And if anything were to happen to the car, it's not his money that will repair it. When you are driving the car, that every scratch, you are the one that will pay for respraying the car. That every to change your shock absorber is your money. There's no taxpayer's money in buying your shock absorber. Did you get my point? You drive different. Do you know that? But you notice this guy, he's more like that. He drives the government car like it belongs to him. He will fix it. If it's due for servicing and they have not yet released money, sometimes he will use his money to service the car. And he said, why are you doing this? He said, oh boy, this is the car I drive now. It must be well taken care of. Young woman, marry that fellow. I don't care how planless his future looks. Marry him. God will take him somewhere. But if he comes to your house, the car is smoking. Why is your official car smoking? It didn't concern me. Please run away. Do you get my point? Run away. He said, I'm not marrying. He said, I've been praying. Eh? You know, Johnny, I've been praying. I heard in my spirit. Faith. What you want to pronounce is faithfulness. Which you are saying, I have found lacking in you. Let me go and pray until I find it. Do you follow my point? Yeah. That is how you know. Okay? That's how you know that this person is not just hiding behind God. I'm living a planless life. But really, he's actually trusting God. When you see he's very faithful, truthful, responsible, then his faith is genuine. Why am I saying so? Faith, I was talking about, you know, learning to walk in that garden, right? You get my point? Not eating as a habit the knowledge of the truth, fruit of the knowledge of the tree of evil and good and evil. Listen to this carefully, brethren. Faith is not just when you want something. Faith is a lifestyle you live. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
It's not something you pick up to collect something. It's a lifestyle. And there's a reason why the Bible does not separate faith and faithfulness. Are you getting my point? There's a reason. The Bible doesn't distinguish. In fact, the translators always have to try and read in context. That's how when you get to that Galatians chapter 5, in that verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When it gets to faith, some Bibles will use the word faithfulness, some will use the word faith. Before, I tried to know which one was the correct one. That now, I don't bother. They mean essentially the same thing. Where I'm going is that, before, when we're talking about faith, when we want to, no, how do I say this now? Yeah. They say, believe God to cure headache. Then you can believe him later to cure migraine. Then you can believe him to cure brain tumor. I preached it also. We try to practice it. So we have paracetamol and you have a headache. We don't take it. We believe God to cure the headache. Why? So that we can believe him for migraine. So that we can believe him for brain tumor later. Pastor Bank, are you saying it's not necessary? Yes, that's what I'm saying now. That's not how you practice faith. Great faith is a gift, is an impartation. How do you practice to get great faith? What you do is practice. The one you really can practice, faithfulness. Practice faithfulness on a daily basis. So this is what it means. When they say, be in the office by 8, we have inspectors coming by 9. We all have to prepare. by 8 o'clock for the inspectors. Instead of trying to say, hey, I want to believe God to cure my headache, get up by 6:30 and start going to work. Then it starts raining heavily, like it rained since last night, this morning. Get an umbrella and get into the rain. Refuse to use the rain as an excuse for coming late. Don't be comfortable to get into, you know, with getting to the office by 8:45. And your boss said, I said everyone should have been here by 8. He said, sir, you saw it was raining. You are not practicing faith. That one that you say, I won't take Panadol, is not the practice of faith. This is the practice of faith. What is the practice of faith? It is that you have 1,000 naira. You're going, maybe you go out, and you now find out, you have eaten breakfast. You now find out, your plan is that this 500 naira will be for lunch, this 500 naira will be transport to come back home. You now get to one walk, one guy is yawning, oh boy, how far? Say, bro, let me tell you the truth though. I've not eaten. This is how you practice faith. Ability to forego of your lunch that he may have the first meal of the day. Why has he not eaten? There's no money. You've eaten breakfast. You kept 500 naira for lunch. So by evening, you will have eaten twice and he will not have eaten once. What did Jesus say? When you have two coats, what do you do? You give one. Give him one meal. You've eaten breakfast. Oh boy. And you don't have to complain to him or say, I'm just doing this because you're my brother. No. Just you have not eaten. Between you and God, no, you have just given up your lunch. Give him the 500 naira. That is how you practice what? Faith. You know, people are trying to say, no, it is not, let me practice how to believe God for headache. So your head is pounding. I said, I won't drink the paracetamol. Now, I'm not saying drink the paracetamol. But don't deceive yourself. That's not the practice of faith. I've just given you two instances now. One, enter the rain. Get a raincoat. Put your shoes in a bag and wear bathroom slippers. Do whatever you have to do. Get to that office by 8, like the big boss said, and join him to prepare for the inspectors that are coming by 9. Don't walk in at 8:45. Sir, there was hold up. Didn't you see that Otigba Junction this morning? No. Ask yourself, why can't I get there at 8? Because it's threatening to rain. I'll get my umbrella. I'll get my bathroom slippers. I'll put my shoes in a bag. I'll pay the keke extra if I don't have my own car. I'll do whatever I have to do. That is how you practice faith. Why? Because faith and faithfulness, they're the same thing. How do you practice faith? What is faithfulness? They give you money. It's 500,000. You know, 5,000 is small. Out of 500, you know, so you could disappear it with the other expenses. No. They say, bring all the receipts. Let your receipts be complete. What is remaining? 5,000. Count it and put it on the table, sir. It's all the money, but this is what's remaining. We didn't spend this 5,000. This receipt accurate to the last kobo. Brethren, that's how you practice faith. That's how you practice faith. It is not, no. In one way in school, I go back and I say, God saw our heart, so he had mercy. You see, you live by faith, live by faith. My parents were quite, I mean, they did what they had to do to make sure I was comfortable in school. So money came on time, all right? So this time around, maybe I'm supposed to get money at the end of this month. As an example, I saw my money is finished. I was supposed to send a message on time. I didn't have the monthly allowance. I just send this. You send, I need this, and they will send. You know what I did? I didn't send a message until my money had finished. You know why? I wanted to do what? Live by faith. Young man, young woman, that was not faith. I mean, I'm a Bible teacher now. It wasn't faith. It was foolishness. And I survived because I lived amongst brethren who were kind. It wasn't faith. I know now it was not faith. In fact, it was the opposite of faith. You were unfaithful. Your father, your mother's instruction was, let us know when your money is going down. And you disobeyed. It wasn't faith. What will have been faith? It's simple. You're in fellowship. They say we didn't need money for a program. Okay, maybe your parents didn't make allowance for those things you guys do in fellowship. So you deny yourself one meal. You do this. Maybe you wanted to buy something. You look at it, it's not critical. Maybe there's a book you would have loved to buy. You got one to borrow and you return later. You find a way to give towards it. That's what practice of faith will have been. It is not a practice of faith that I refused to send a message to my parents. And I was in school. They thought I was comfortable. Not only I was suffering. Because I wanted my heavenly father, who had deployed my earthly father and earthly mother to take care of me, to take over a job that he had given some people, two people to do for me. Do you follow my point? One young man came to me one time. He was having problems with his father and many things in life. He was confused. So he came. I came for counseling, for advice. So I asked him, you know, as he was speaking, at a point in time, something just hit something, you know, like, I won't say the word of knowledge, I don't know, but something just clicked that something, you know, something is not right here. So it just suddenly clicked. I just asked him, wait, did you just use your school fees to do crusade? Because I was a campus fellowship president. So he kept quiet. I said, did you use your school fees to do the outreach you guys did? Yes, sir. I said, what? They were not getting the money. And again, I said, do you know if you're a civil servant, you should go to jail? He was surprised. I said, you're a criminal. He felt I should, being a preacher, I should think he's a zealous young man. I said, no, you're a criminal. He said, sir, which crime? I said, it's called misappropriation of funds. Do you work? He said, no, sir. I said, where did the money come from? My father gave it to me. So, you are an irresponsible young man. You can't run a simple errand between your father and the school bosser. Yeah, that's what I said to him. I said, it's not your money. It's your father's money. He gave it to you. Go and give it to the bosser of your school. He will issue you a receipt, and that will be for your school fees. And you said, yes, sir. You took it and went and hired equipment. Was the money given to you to pay for speakers? No, sir. Was the money given to you to hire a microphone? No. But you wanted to be zealous. Why didn't you let God take care of his own work? The way out for him was simple. I said, go home. Roll on the ground. Tell your father you are sorry. There is foolishness. That you thought you were doing it for God. You did not know you were disobeying God. I said, tell your father like that. I didn't see him much after that period. That is how to practice faith. The problem a lot of us have is that we still have this erroneous impression that if you are zealous for God, God will now bless you extra. So you start breaking laws. That's why one man went to his office in today's Naira. Now, I don't want to give it in that day's Naira, okay? Let's use today's Naira. That man stole something like between 50 and 100 million Naira from his office and gave to his church. The guy went to his office. He was an accountant in one big firm in Lagos. In today's Naira, that time it was, I think, 6 or 8 million Naira of that time. A brand new car that time was like 3. Buy like a Camry, brand new that time, was not up to 3 million. It took 6 or 8 million in his office. For those who want to know in dollars, it took like $60,000. His company's money. And took it to church and gave it as an offering. This is the funny part. People testified he did not even buy a pair of trousers. It's not as if he bought it and took the money, took some. No. He took the whole lump. Took the whole thing and gave it to his church. It was a national scandal at that time. He did news. And I remember saying to people, I know why he did it. Some of us knew why he did it. But what he thought, actually, was that he was doing it for God. In his zeal, he broke the law of God. He stole from his employer and took to church, and it was zeal. That was not faithfulness. Please, let's understand it. When we're talking about faith, All right? The way to practice faith, let me just believe God for this. That's not to practice faith. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. If you want to do the practice of faith, you spend your energy on faithfulness. It's not that, okay, let's pray for something big now so that when we need something bigger, we'll be able to pray. That's not how to practice faith. How to practice faith is to walk into that office. You're hungry. You have not eaten. A customer comes in, forgets his change. You call him back. Hello, sir. Your change is supposed to be 500 naira. Here it is. Say, no, you can keep it. Say, no, sir. That won't be necessary, sir. It's against company policy. That is how to practice faith. How do you practice faith? Is so you're very hungry. I've not eaten the day. You are an accountant. You count money. You make sure everything is complete. And you leave the place hungry. That is how you are practicing faith. There's a culture I've seen now these days, very common in Nigeria. People say it's poverty. They say it's not poverty. Those who do it, a lot of them are very well to do. As a rule, when I enter airport, you will never see me without sunglasses. Dark shade is my rule. Yeah, because of what people do. Once I'm getting to the airport, even if it's 8 p.m., I wear my sunshades. I don't want to catch your eye. The shamelessness will do some of them beg. The shamelessness is embarrassing. One woman did something one day. I felt like calling her. I can't change the whole world. So I just ignore you and go my way. And I said, so if your husband sees you doing this, won't he be ashamed of you? Don't you have some dignity? You're a married woman. You know it's small. I know how much you are paid. What's all of this? At the mall here, they have a new set of one guy the other day. I parked my car and said, okay, I'll be watching the car. You're not watching the car. You are employed to watch the whole place. You're not watching my car. I came back and said, I was the one watching the car where you were going. I said, my friend, try your best not to irritate me. I opened my door and I left. I said, what? Now I'm talking about practice faithfulness. John said it, be content with your wages. He was talking to policemen of today, that time. They went to him, say, hey, this begging for Roger on the road is not good. You want to practice faith? Yeah, the security man at the mall. Do what you're supposed to do. Good morning, sir. Have a nice day, sir. Trust you had a nice experience with us. Just say it and don't have anything in your mind. For goodness sake, federal government is paying you FAN, is paying you at the airport. Have dignity. Have it. You're a Christian. Let the rest of the world do what they want to do. But you never do that. If I just make up your mind, this money I don't want. I'm not a beggar. I work for my wages. I'm not a beggar. You're a security person. You're a scam. This is how, you know, because if this is how a criminal will be giving you money. Then they carry the bag. Say, no, there's no need to check this bag. And you walk into where it's not supposed to walk in with. What it's not supposed to walk in with. And you've been compromised. Because you turned begging to a habit. I feel like telling Christians out there in all these places, please, don't join those who beg. Don't join those who beg. If the agreement concerning the work it does not include half of your money will come from tips. Even if it did, you never ask for it. If you don't like the money they are paying, take another job. Yes. Go and sell gala in traffic. It sells. Yeah. It sells. With what? People, I mean, find something else that you can find another skill. Please, as much as possible, hate the concept of begging. Preachers too, because you know preachers, we can stylishly beg. Said the work we are doing is great. The work we are doing is great. You told us before we heard. The work we are doing is great. God, didn't you hear that the work we are doing is great? You are begging. Do you follow my point? That's where you practice faithfulness. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now, let's sit on this. So, this habit we are talking about, departing from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and getting back into the garden. Remember we said, first thing is what? Our Father. When Jesus used the word our Father, he was saying, listen, the system of the world is not your system. The system of the world is not your own system. He was saying the system of the world is not your system. I was saying earlier, so when you buy a book, check whether there's our father system in it or there's a worldly system. And he said, that's our opening scripture, do not love the world. Some people come to church and say, look, these are the things people of the world know. Always look at that statement with suspicion. Because the system of the world and that of the church, they are different. I have our Father. If anything is taught to you that does not, you know, help you understand our Father, drop it. It's not good for you. There are things that the world teaches. Please, let's give it the real name. It's called worry. See, I'll be honest with you. A lot of the system that the world teaches now, concerning, now please, I know this is a bit sensitive, but I will have to say it. If I don't say it, the Lord won't be happy with me. Concerning how to take care of your health, concerning how to take care of your financial future, Jesus has only one word to describe them. Worry. I don't have time to go into details. A lot of the things that we are taught today concerning how to take care of our health and how to take care of our future, the Bible, Jesus calls it worry. In the health matter, I argue with people all the time. Say, what you are telling people to do is worry. Please let me tell you as a Christian, if you want to live long, pray. No, I said it last time. Yes. Pray. Pray. Tell God why you should. He will save you from everything. That is not me promoting careless living. Because part, now I was talking about faithfulness. Because part of faithfulness, there's a long list of things that are faithfulness. The Bible, okay, now let's go back to our list. So, now, before I go on with this, let me now remind us what we're saying. You know, so we gave a list, remember that? We gave a list. Recognize our God, our Father. You have to recognize it. And please, utter that prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Nothing wrong with it. Lord, recite it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Just do that once in a while. Let it remind you that you have a God. No, sorry. You have a Father who is God. That is, your Father is God. Your Father is God. He's so powerful. In the last 1 year, about God has... There was a time I even told him, look, God, boost my faith, do this thing. And he did. I said, was it on Tuesday I was preaching here? Please, please, let me say it again. Eh? I'm talking about this fatherhood of God thing. Please, go and learn how to pray to the Father. Most of our prayers are to the judge. Some people don't like me when I say this. I think we shout too much. You know the reason why I'm saying we shout too much? For me, it reflects the fact that we don't understand we are talking to the Father. My children make requests of me all the time. Gbenga will just knock the door. Hello, who's that? It's me, Gbenga. What is it? I've not received the alert. Okay. Sorry, I've been busy. Network has been bad. And that's it. Okay, thank you, Daddy. Daddy, are you inside? Daddy, are you inside? Are you inside? Oh! You know, I'll ask his siblings, is this guy okay? Not, it's just a simple knock. Hello? Yeah. Oh, when I will tell you, I'm going to school today. I know I told you I want to buy a book. So I need money for this and that book money. Please. In fact, this, like she did yesterday. Who's giving it to me? Is it you or mommy? Do you get my point? So I said, who are you going out with? If you are going out with mommy, she will give you. If you want me to give you, wait until I'm going out. Okay, I think I'm in a hurry. I'll follow mommy. Bye-bye. He didn't say, Perez, hold my hand. Benga, hold me on this side. Daddy, oh, daddy, oh, daddy, oh, daddy, oh. Daddy, ultimate daddy, correct daddy. The daddy that has done me before. In my first year, you paid. We may laugh about these things. Sometimes the way we pray, it shows that the reality of God as Father has not hit us. It hasn't. The way we pray, a lot of times, it shows that the reality of God and as Father has not hit us. I don't want to sit on it, please. I've been talking about it in recent times. God wants people who just walk in and they will say, our Father. And it's real. We learn a habit of bombard heaven. It's not necessary. It is not necessary. You have problems in your business? Go to that same office. Say, Lord, I've come here to talk to you about this business. Wait for everybody to leave. Or get there 1-2 hours before everybody else. Drag your chair out and kneel down. Lord, I don't have this. Father, I need this. Father, look at this. I'm asking for help in this area. Send help to me here. Give me money here. Give me favor here. You know, keep on and say, Lord, if I'm doing anything wrong, please correct me. Where am I getting it wrong? What am I doing that I'm not supposed to do? My heart is open. Next thing, somebody knocks. Can I train you in this area? And your spirit says, accept. He comes in and he trains you and you see what you guys are doing wrong. But what I'm teaching for today is those habits. You know, we have the number of points. You remember? We've been talking about them. You keep on like, Pastor, get to those points now. Yes, I keep getting to them. Those points I want to emphasize, they are habits we form. They are the faith with which we put ourselves back in the garden, which is why we can pray boldly to the Father. We must recognize that our life is not supposed to be like that of other people. You see, this is how business... Where was it? Okay, that's in Pastor Levi's program. Which day was that? Thursday, right? Yes. I explained something that day. In fact, I wish I could get the message, really. I think I want people to listen to it. So you can't predict anything, no? And I emphasized it. You can't predict. You can't predict anything. This is what you do, and business will go boom. Two companies in this world, they went down so fast, God used them to teach us a lesson. One was Nokia. And that was BlackBerry. In fact, did you hear the way she said it's true? She has so forgotten BlackBerry. That is, she has forgotten there was a BlackBerry. That time, BlackBerry was the way you should. You know the way people carry iPhone now, eh? BlackBerry that time was. You have made it. Thank you. But what I'm talking about the phone is that the companies went down. One of them, either Nokia or BlackBerry, said, we did everything right. Although we said that that's hubris on his side. Should have learned that he did not. But they didn't know what happened. You can analyze all you want. God removed it for whatever reason and carried it somewhere else. He gave it to two companies. iPhone and Android. So if you wanted a piece of it, all right, you join Android. Samsung went full into Android and they stayed there. Samsung had tried to launch its own OS, but God didn't give it to them. See, when we say God gives, doesn't mean you don't work. But no matter how hard you work, if God has not given, he has not given. It's as if God looked at Microsoft and said, listen, this mobile market, I didn't give you. Because finally, they had to give up. That's how you know that something spiritual in this life. And look, don't come with marketing methods. People have used all those kind of methods. Do you know how much words I've spent advertising before they became a worldwide phenomenon? Guess how much it was? $0. Didn't spend a dime. Look, brethren, know how to pray. That's what I'm saying. But the other things we're talking about are the exercise of faith. So actually, I'm not going to teach on them in details. I just thought about it. There's no need to teach on them in details. But they constitute the exercise of faith with which you will build up your faith to be able to approach God as Father. They constitute. So all the other things, let's go through them. Good enough. I've already talked about faithfulness and diligence. I will not talk about it again. Remember, we say you must worship. Remember that. As part of worship, you must hope in mercy and constantly pray for mercy. Know God as Father. I don't want to go back to that. Number two, we said you must be faithful and diligent. Let's just, for completeness sake, let's read the book of Luke chapter 16. Just for completeness sake, I'm not going to sit on it. It says, he who is faithful, verse 10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, he says, or wealth, he says, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which belongs to another person, or which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? The reason why people are unfaithful is because they are serving money. So he said in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth or mammon. Are you getting my point? The reason why people are unfaithful is because they are serving mammon. The reason they are unfaithful is because of what they are serving. Now, many people, just to drop this for believers, you see, we keep on struggling. It's a fact of life. It's a fact of life that we keep on struggling between serving God and serving mammon. Mammon does not give up. It keeps trying to attract us. Met a man at the election. I said, sir, you have this book. He said, yes, I brought it to read while we're waiting for other things. He says, it's important I keep reading things like this. Otherwise, I'll be serving myself. I will think I'm still serving God. It's very impossible to be running ministry and you're not serving God. Do you know that? I dare to say most people doing ministry are not even serving God. They are serving mammon. They are serving themselves. Once you start tweaking your message based on who is there, on what money you will collect, you're not serving God. The reason people are unfaithful, and that's what we're looking at here, is because of what? Serving mammon. Take our country today. Please, by the way, let me drop this again. People say Nigeria should change. Nigeria will never change from above. Some people, you know, the Christians, you hear them talk. They have so much hatred for the last 20-something years, they've hated the president that we haven't had in Nigeria. And the real reason is because they keep on expecting something. One day I was talking with somebody, we were just analyzing the business world, and I said something that some people did that was wrong in business that time. He said, what did Obasanjo do about it? I just left the discussion. You are looking for how to blame the president for everything. I'm talking business here. You think the president would not... Who told you they went to appeal to him? If you don't appeal to Caesar, we didn't know where your problem is. You know how many boardrooms that are in this country that are more important than others? But he just said, hey, what did the president do about it? If he was careful, you'll have noticed that I didn't say anything after that. I just left the discussion. If you want your country to change, please, brethren, it will be because the average one of us Christians decide to stop serving mammon. I know what I'm saying. Which means we'll go back to the offices, work as unto the Lord. And that way, you see, if you are doing what you are doing as unto the Lord, you can't be corrupted. The Spirit of God will not allow that. Why do Christians join... If you know how Christians join racketeering, bribery and corruption, stealing government's money, you wouldn't believe it. You will know why God has not changed. You see, God said, back, you see, if I do what they're asking me to do, I will destroy too many of my own people. I will destroy too many of them. I will destroy too many of my own. So what I'm trying to do is I'm waiting for them to repent. Now, God is long, but then when he's going to start with his judgment, we won't like it because he will not wait forever. He won't wait forever. Because people serve mammon, they're unfaithful. You put Christians in civil service, they're as corrupt as the unbelievers. Why? It's mammon. I'm single to retire now. I'll have something after. That's what they're thinking of. One of the ways you define mammon is the security you are building for your future. No matter how righteous it is in the way you are building it, it's still mammon. One of the key practices, believers, bear it in mind, if you want to walk in the garden, is faithfulness and diligence. Please let me say it again. A true believer is not lazy. Remember that man I told the story at the beginning? Of course, many of those things have dropped now. But those days, the man thought I was. I said, who are you talking to? He thought I gathered people to tell them to be listening around like his son. Maybe his son had a pastor that said, just sow a seed, even if you stole it. It will germinate and meet you in the house. Which was not what I was teaching. That's why I just gave my life then as an example. Why I was teaching in so many places was that when I came to the east here, the field where I teach was then, there were very few in the country. In fact, my hospital here had not had a full-time teacher for over 10 years. I stepped into a position nobody had occupied for over 10 years. If I remember then, I used to go travel to Niue to go and teach. It was, how do I say it now? The old man who was in charge there, he virtually forced me. He said, Banky, please, I need you to do this for me. He told me the problems you're having. I said, sir, Niue is far from here. Then, if you see the money they will not pay me as a salary, you will be angry. And I told them that this distance, this cannot even cover my fall. The man said, just wait, just wait. I didn't know how to refuse the old man. That time, when that man was talking nonsense in front of me, I said, oh, but if you know the amount of work I do, you won't even talk. It's out of discipline for, because I have to focus on the ministry work I do. I dropped a lot of things, pushed them aside. I had to cut everything, because this was the early days when I first came to the ministry, was not this busy that time. I had to cut everything off after a while. But at that time, bro, the man that was looking at me that I'm preaching prosperity, I said, come and see the work I do. Well, I believe in God doesn't make us lazy people. And even if we have not any money, we are hard working. We are busy. It's one of the practice of faith in the garden. Faithfulness and diligence. If you see any person who says, I'm walking by faith, God is taking care of me. And he's doing nothing. Just telling you, you're not walking by faith. You are deceiving yourself. You can be a volunteer working with all your heart somewhere. And they are not paying you, you know, really. That's not enough compensation. But at least you're responsible. You get my point? You wake up in the morning, somebody can count on you. Spawn aside. Just ask yourself, if I die suddenly, who will miss me? Yeah, you should ask. One guy cracked a joke, which I think one of the jokes of the century. He said, some people don't know how important they are in your life. He said, look at this Akara woman. She didn't come this morning, and I've already bought the bread. For those who don't understand Nigerian cuisine, you won't get what I've just said. The guy consistently, his breakfast, he's going out, he'll buy those small loaves of bread, they get the Akara, enjoy it, buy some Akara, you know the way, burgerize it, you understand? It's burger, you get my point? Open it, load it inside, maybe buy a drink, buy Zobo, you know, buy something. And then as he's going to work, he's munching it, and then that's breakfast constantly. So that morning he came out. He didn't know the Akara woman did not open. He said, this Akara woman did not open today. That's what I'm saying. You must be important in somebody's life. You must be important. You must be important in somebody's life. The Lord is good. So the next point, I'm not coming back to that. Please, let's sit on this for a moment. Hopefully, I think I should be able to run through all of them and then we'll be done with it. Rightful use of the mouth. Open up your Bibles, please, with me to Psalm 34. Let's start from 9, sorry. Psalm number 34. O fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. He now said, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good. Now, verse 13. He said, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Notice what he said. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Now, what is evil? There are so many things that are qualified to be evil. The kind of words, now, of course, we know cursing and, you know, can I use the word fighting with your words? Of course, that is evil. But some people celebrate, all they do every time is describe that which is evil in the environment. Let me use my own words now. Keep your mouth from prophesying evil. Have you heard people say things like, there's no future for anybody around here? That is speaking what? Evil. That's evil. That's evil. Another thing about evil is counseling people to disobey the word of God. See, in the New Testament, that's what I know for sure. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What he said there is the doing of evil. Not from evil happening to us. What does it mean to speak evil? To give bad counsel is part of it. One woman was teaching somewhere, my wife went there, on how to have a happy home. When she finished, it was nothing but human wisdom, devilish wisdom from hell, seriously. This woman taught deception. How to hide money from your husband. How to be smart to avoid quarrels. And if you saw the thing she was saying, she has two accounts, so her husband only knows about one. Now, you see, when you do what is bad, there's one thing about it, okay? Now, when you start teaching it, there are two problems there. One, you don't even realize what you've done is bad. That's one. And then you are teaching other people to disobey God. And God judges those sins separately. No, see, if you do what is wrong, again, small as if you're a pastor, I said it, was it on Tuesday or last Saturday I said it? If you want to counsel people, never counsel them with your opinion. So that when it is wrong, God will not judge you for two things. One, you are doing what is wrong. And number two, you are it's a separate iniquity. So take the scriptures, counsel people from scriptures, even though in your mind you say, if it's me, I won't do what I have said. Some people say that's hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. It is not. I can prove to you it's not hypocrisy. Do you know that? Oh, the way Simon's laughing, I know you want me to prove it. No, what, I should prove it. I should prove it. Hypocrisy is when you are doing one thing and professing to do another. That's hypocrisy. When you I'm doing one thing, but outside, I give you the impression I'm doing something else. That's hypocrisy. But what I have described is what Jesus said. He said, you see the Pharisees, they sit in the seat of Moses. What did he say next? Do as they say, not as they do. That's a different concept. That is, now I am teaching the laws of Moses. You forget whether I practice it or not. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes. Yeah, so the Pharisees were hypocrites. I'm not saying they were not hypocrites. But God explained something that, see, don't say this man is a hypocrite. I won't do what he say. He said, is it the law? Do it. Don't say the man teaching us the law is not keeping the law. Jesus said, it doesn't concern you. If it's what the law demands of you, don't look at the messenger and say, because that's what I mean by what I was saying. When you want to counsel people, follow that pattern. Stick with the word of God, not with what you practice. That way your judgment is only half in case you're a sinner. If you are practicing it, better. But it must always be the standard of the word of God that you present to people. It must never be your experience. Don't say, me, I won't take it. If my husband tries that one, he will know the kind of person I am. If you're a pastor, if you're a counselor, never talk that nonsense. Just go there and say, love is patient. In your mind, if I catch this man, on the surface, say, love is kind. You are giving what? Scripture. Don't speak evil. That's what I'm trying to say. You say, well, my brother, let me tell you the truth. Let's leave the Bible aside. I will show him what it means. Ask yourself, is that what God wants somebody to do? The answer is no. So leave it. Tell the person what God wants the person to do. And I heard two people teach along this line. One was Casey Price. He said sometimes women in his church, because some of them have very bad marriages, said they come to him and describe things that are going on. Said he wished, it was late now, those days said he wished he could tell them how he felt, but he couldn't. He's a pastor. He must give them the word of God. Said there are times what he just wants to tell the woman, get a gun, shoot him. You know, like, that's what he wants to say. Please, ma, get a gun. Keep it on the side, all right? Anytime, because if he tries that again, shoot him in the leg. But his office, don't worry, shall be well. Then he prays and gives the counsel of the word of God. You want the word of God to work. Don't you want it to work? Release it to work now. This man's counsel is the one that was most interesting. The business, by the way, Larry Bucket. Said the guy came, sat, told him the problem between him and his business partner. After the guy had finished speaking. So what do you have to say? Larry Bucket said, we are going to sue him. We are going to sue him for all he's got. We pack all the documents, make sure we get a lawyer, a very good lawyer, and we are going to sue him. I think that's how you should handle this. That man was very happy. And he got, thank you, sir. He got up to leave. He said, wait, don't go yet. Sit down. That one sat back down. He said, I've told you what I think. I've not told you what the Lord thinks. That's how that one felt. Like, what? They opened the scriptures. He says, a believer? Yes. He's a member of your church? Yes. We'll have to leave this matter to God to judge. Say, you can't go to court on this matter. This is the reason why. Even though he felt like going to court, he would have loved to be in front in court. But, said the Lord, said we can't. So, of course, that one left sad. But the Rebucket gave him the word of God. When he said, keep your tongue from speaking evil, I'll tell that to you, Christians. Many pastors go behind. They give evil counsel. Just because a woman wants to marry. You counsel her to marry an unbelieving man. Brethren, even if it's in your heart. So I don't see anything wrong with it. My sister married an unbelieving man. They're happy today. My cousin married an unbelieving man. They're happy today. The other one, the husband practices Hare Krishna. They're happy today. My cousin is a Muslim. The husband is a Muslim. They're happy today. The other one is even a Hindu. They're happy today. That one is an atheist. Just be deceiving yourself in your heart. Don't open your mouth to counsel anybody with that which is evil. Actually, there's a curse on it. There is a curse on it. So, when you say keep your mouth from speaking evil, I'm just adding the one that many of us tend to overlook. Say, depart from evil and do good. I'm not teaching on that. What I'm emphasizing is that please, all the time, speak good about your own life. Speak good about the nation you live in. Don't be amongst those who forward nonsense. All they do is insult their country, show Chinese people who are working, and show Nigerians who are praying, as if those who are praying don't work. Brethren, I work. Do you understand? All my brethren work. But we pray. We spend time praying. We have prayed this morning. We'll pray again today. We'll wake up at night to pray. Please, don't insult the will of God. Don't do that. The Lord is good. Then number four, this one we talked about. Again, I'm just going to, because I want to stop it today. These things must be habits. That's the point I'm making. If you want to live in the garden, the law of moderation. Remember I talked about it. This is where I get to this. I get into the quarrel with people about this thing. All the diet fads people bring, I don't believe in any one of them. And I'm saying it on that as a preacher of the word of God. The Lord said, Banky, don't believe in them. They are fads. And they are full of false information. They are full of false information. And let me say something. Please, can I quickly get it? You know, we're talking about God the Father, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, God is very personal. When I say very personal, there are things I've asked him before. Personal things. Say, Lord,
Okay, I'll twist the story one way, but to convey the spirit across, but I don't want to tell the exact story because people will misinterpret it, okay? So I want to just twist it. Maybe like, I tell the Lord, if you don't like the way I'm eating, you understand? Please let me know. This is not food, what I really want to talk about. Maybe there's a kind of food I like to eat. And I say, Lord, if you don't like me eating it, please let me know. I don't hear anything in my ears. The next time I go to the market, it's not being sold. I check government has banned the importation of it. Now, I don't need another spirit to tell me that the Lord has answered your prayer. Now, where I'm going is that, you know, God is that personal. Let me just say something about diet. The diet that good for this man is not good for this one. In fact, Englishman says one man's meat is what? Another man's poison. That thing is actually more true than we realize. There's what you will eat, you add weight. This man will eat it, he will lose weight. Do you know that now, if I learned this one just recently, just not too long ago, we just had a conference in the hospital, so, and I went for it. I was surprised to find out that the pattern of bacteria in your gut decides whether you add weight or you don't. Yeah, and in experiments, they have replaced the bacteria in guts of lab animals, and they didn't change their food, just change the bacteria. And it affected their body weight. There are so many things that vary in this life here. Sometimes I see some people running up and down Okwara Square. I just feel sorry for them. You know why? Not because running up and down is bad. Okay? I believe in exercising. I think it's good to keep fit. It's good. I'm not saying, All right? But just that me, I believe more a man should carry weight than runner. Now, please, that's just personal. Please, what did I say? Very personal. Before you can say, Pastor Banky said that. No, I didn't say. I'm just saying me. Just what I feel, okay? But why I feel sorry for some people is that I feel like that you have not identified what your problem is. There are people that their problem with weight gain is not lack of exercise. It is something else. Which sometimes is a nutritional deficiency, and they are starving themselves of that nutrient and they don't know. Yes. Now, what am I trying to say? Life is so complex that I tell people, in everything, just do what you call moderation. God has helped me personally. This is personal, but you can also, and I recommend this. If I'm not hungry, I don't eat. No matter how nice the food is looking. I eat now. I'm not hungry. That's what I'll just tell you. Gone are the days, was when I was much smaller, that whether I eat or not is dependent on the what's available and the sight. If I've eaten, I now fry plantain and put well-done egg on it, then roll small noodles beside it. I will forget that Eba has not even gone down. I don't do that. I mean, I stopped doing that many years ago. Different ways I learned it. It's very personal to me, and it works for me. You bring a diet, I'm not even going to answer you. And please, let me say something again, which I keep saying, but people don't learn. Don't let people who are not experts in an issue advise you. Generally, just follow this rule I've given you, moderation. And watch your body, how it responds to things. If you eat something, it gives you running stomach. You don't need to pray about it again. Once it's not basically necessary food. This particular vegetable, if I eat it, give me running stomach. Just stop eating it now. Don't waste your faith on one vegetable when there are 20 other ones. But if you drink water, it's not good for you. It's a different matter. We can use faith on that. You get what I'm going to say? Just use common sense. You know what is not yours. Say, I don't like eating yam. It's not a big deal. Well, every time I eat it, it gives me heartburns. And it's only yam. Potato doesn't do it. Cassava doesn't do it. Bread doesn't do it. I'll tell you, don't pray about it. Just reduce the amount of yam you consume. You know why I'm saying this? Sometimes, I was saying that God is very personal. It's very personal. He actually knows what is not good for you. And he just gives you small signals. Don't eat that. So you're struggling with everybody to say what is not really now is keto diet. You join the keto diet.
That is exactly what will kill you. But you don't know. You hear everybody say, the diet now is don't eat cooked food before 12 o'clock. God said, you don't understand. The only nutrient you need is not well absorbed except it's well cooked. Unfortunately, it's part of your breakfast. You have abandoned it. That's a small general knowledge issue. What I want to give you as instruction from heaven is be moderate. Don't. You shouldn't be known for eating too much. It's not good. For those who want to die early, you know them. When they go for party, you see all the bottles in front. Mix different kinds of drink. They'll be drinking it. It's wickedness. Do you get my point? It's wickedness. It's not about church. It's just bad. I don't need to say more than that about drinking things. Now, can I give you a small aside for me, personal aside? It's personal. This generation is more interested in your money than your health. Both those who are promoting health and those who are promoting food, they are more interested in your money than your health. So be very reluctant to part away to part with your money, to be grabbing things to put in your mouth. Anything I don't identify, I can't identify, I don't eat, I don't drink. If you give me a drink, it's too sweet, I won't drink it next time because I think you packed too much sweetness inside it. I personally don't like artificial sweetness. I cut all the soft drinks I drink simply because they kept... Now, many people don't like me, what I'm about to say. If you put real sugar, I don't have a problem. I will eat it. I will drink it. Once as I see you put E3 or this, either the things I can't identify, and it's making me sweet. Bye-bye to Jati Jati. That's just my personal thing. There are a lot of drinks I used to drink. They change their formula without telling you. Personally, if it has a long aftertaste, I don't drink it again. It's the last time. If it is sweet, it shouldn't be sweet more than 1 minute after I remove it from your mouth. When you are still sweet, 2 hours later. Now, but this sweet pass. That's just me. That's just me. They said they test. I said, no. You see, don't give my liver too much to do. There's enough problem in normal food that my liver is fighting. They will not be adding things to it. And please, can I just beg you? This is a matter of fact. If you are not sick, don't take medicine. What did I say? They said that this will just prolong your... Don't answer them. What you need is good food, balanced diet, water. That's enough. Daily this to prevent this, don't take it. Unless you are demonstrably sick. For example, if you're pregnant. I'm not saying sickness. I'm just trying to say that, you know, we tend to, you have to put something extra. So sometimes they give supplements your vitamins, which I know people who don't even bother. They look for food that's rich in those vitamins and they eat more of it. Okay? But that's what I'm trying to say. Except a particular need has been demonstrated. Please don't solve a problem you don't have. Those of you who are taking multivitamin every day, scientific evidence now shows that you are more likely to be sick than those who don't at the end of the day. Twice in recent time, people have told me, say, hey, please, supplement. I say, hey. I say, you're talking, pick on the wrong person. Is that, one was a young man here. One was a lady at the mall. He said, why? Both of them asked, why, sir? Why is he picking wrong? I said, because I'm a doctor. I'm trained. Hey, boss, I said, I can't take advice from you. Look at you. Look at me. The only certificate you have is SS3, WAEC, GCE. If I give you my own list, you will run away from here. Not only did my own list, the people I've given it to, who have helped acquire it. But I told the girl, most importantly, I said, supplements are only good for those who sell them. You are not sick? Yes, I'm commanding you. Some of you, you say, Pastor Bank, that's the business I do. Find another business. Stop hurting people because you want to make money. The other things that they need, you can sell. They need food. Sell them yam. Sell them potatoes. Is that not good? Cassava. Gari is there. They must eat vegetables. Buy vegetables. They spice their food. Sell salt. Sell them sugar. It's good. Don't go and get them Chinese supplements and you are telling them it's good for them. When you can't, you don't even know where it came from. You know, you are only caring about your pocket. Some people think once they are doing the business, I should not preach against it. Yeah, I've seen protests before. I said something is bad. Some people now be saying, no, Pastor, you see, I said, you see, this is your reaction is because you make money from it. That's the law of moderation. The Bible makes it very clear. We should be temperate in all things. Then number five, because I want to end this today. Brethren, please just allow me. Do I need to preach this? But let me just mention it. Please read my book, Worship and Sex Control. There's a spirit of the age. It looks for how to connect. The age has a spirit. Are you getting my point? Yes. For example, you see, if we just wake up in the morning, I think I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Now, please listen to me. Let's be honest. Let us be honest. Is it possible, really, to have that feeling for no reason? No, it's not possible. How can you feel like a woman when you have never been a woman? I don't have time to explain why I'm saying this, but let me just say it like that. Those feelings are taught by spirits. A literal spirit enters the person and starts giving the feeling of a woman to a man. That's why she starts, because you have never been a woman, you don't know how a woman feels. Do you get my point? Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you know what a dog feels when it's eating bone? But have you seen my dog? You know now, you give the best thing my dog likes is chicken bone. I don't even think chicken itself is the issue. His way is the chicken bone. Honestly, you want to go and buy for him. I know he enjoys it, but I don't know the feeling. The dog can never know the feeling I get when I take certain things. Just like, don't try it. Somebody described a heroin addict. He described the feeling he gets when he takes a shot of heroin. He couldn't describe it. He had to use something. The guy had to use what we all can experience to explain it. Otherwise, there was no way. What I'm going to say, when a man says, I feel like a woman in a man's body, question you ask, how did he get to that point? And I'm giving you the answer. Is a spirit entered into him and started telling him those things and making him have feelings that he doesn't understand. Many people are in the environment. They don't know what is pushing them. You know, before, I used to wonder why men chase harlots. Yeah, I used to. Like, why they consult harlots? Like, excuse me, why would you do that? Now, this is not about immorality. It's not about adultery or fornication. Now, it's about why a harlot. Once I heard the story of that man I told you guys about, who went to familiar spirits to collect power. And at the end of the day, what he couldn't understand was the irresistible pull towards harlots. Then it dawned on me, it's a spirit. It just finds the harlots needed. I don't want to spoil your ears with some stories here. These things come upon people. That's what I'm saying. When Judas was going to betray Jesus, didn't you read your Bible? What happened? Satan entered him. Yeah, you know, some of you just think that he loved money. No. To betray Jesus was hard. It was very hard. Satan had to what? Enter. This is where I'm going. These spirits are everywhere. Oh, they are looking for how to enter. The spirits that make children smoke in Kurumiri, you heard of the one that did in Unizik last week. Two boys, they smoked something. My son said, they say it's close, one of them took. Anyway, he finished and jumped from the top floor of a building. Yes, that's how I read in the news. That's how I made headline in the news. A university student whose father, mother, sent to school, they decided to smoke something. And what the boy felt like, you know, I've told you before, you start feeling like Batman. You start thinking that Spider-Man is a real, and that you are not Spider-Man. So the guy just, I think, they said he jumped through the window. He just jumped out from somewhere, sha. from the third floor and hit a hard floor. Now his parents are mourning because he's dead. Brethren, that's the spirit. So in the book, Worship and Self-Control, I explained this. Please, if you have not read the book, go and read it. There's a reason why you keep away from sexual immorality. It's their number one way of transmission. These are sexually transmitted spirits many of the times. That's how they jump. Jump from one place to the other. How do we enter that family? Ha! Ooh, the spirits say, come, 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 come. That man. Invite him. No, keep on telling you. I say, it's not whether you are caught or not. You are always caught. They are always catching you. You see, it's not whether human beings know. The spirits always know. And they are not out to embarrass you. They are out to enter a place where you wanted them not to come into. They look at your house. How do I spoil it? This is your son. He's going to be a great man of God. We heard them, that pastor prophesy. That pastor with the fear of him. Anytime a prophesy, it comes to pass. When they were dedicating him. So what do we do? He has to smoke kolos. So how do we make him do it? Give his father a girlfriend. It's his father they will give a girlfriend, though, not him. Ah, if it's his mother, that's even worse. The spirits now come with seven spirits more wicked than themselves. They will kill him. They will just mess the whole place. Please, that's why I wrote in the book, Worship and Self-Control. See, Jesus says something. Some people made themselves knock for the sake of the kingdom. If you understand the kingdom, it's not a highfalutin statement. It's not an extreme statement. It's something that men will gladly do if they understood the significance. He said, Lord, share these testes that will not let me enter heaven. I'm going to see a urologist tomorrow. I'm telling you the truth. Remove it. Whatever you have to do, do it. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Flee it. Run. Run. Paul said, this is the will of God concerning you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Your sanctification, that you abstain from what? Sexual immorality. It's a way by which spirits move. I don't want to come back to this, brethren, please, so pardon me. Which one have I mentioned? Yes, the sixth one. Rest, what did I say?
Rest.
Psalm 127, quickly, let's read that. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Part of the law of the garden is that you must sleep. The greatest gifts are given when you are resting. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
When did Adam get his wife? There's a story to tell there. God had given him work to do. Name all the animals. But if you go and check it, read behind the lines, all right? You see, what God was saying is that find amongst them a suitable help for yourself. Please, time will not let me take us there. But go and read by yourself. What God was saying, because the Bible first said, it is not good for man to be alone. Then that tells you that God now tells him to name all the animals. And amongst all the animals he named, there was none found that was a suitable help for him. Basically, in his labor, he couldn't find his wife. Do you get my point? In his labor, he couldn't. So the Lord God now caused him to fall into a deep sleep. And then took a rib from his side and formed Eve. There's a lesson for it for us. The greatest things you get in this your life is not because you struggled for them. I've told the story many times of Ron Kenoly. He wanted to sing. He recorded demo albums. He sent tapes here and there. He said it was when he gave up. After he had given up, he just forgot it. That was when somebody walked up to him one day and said, I'm so and so. I'm an executive director with Hosanna Music. I wanted to pray about recording an album with us. He said to us, that was one thing I didn't need to pray about. Let me add my own words. I've prayed finished. Then he recorded Jesus is Alive. Good album. Most of us didn't know about it. Then he did Lift Him Up. Hey! Lift Him Up. See, would you did the dance? She didn't know when she broke into a dance. Lift Him Up. Lift Him Up cut the whole globe by fire. Everywhere you went, Lift Him Up. I will come into your presence, Lord. Overnight sensation it appeared like only after he had rested. Go and read the happiest fool on earth, Demon Shakarian. Only after he had rested. Rest is a commandment. If you want to live a life in the garden, you have to rest regularly and rest continuously. The continual rest is a mental thing. Sometimes you are teaching, people leave their phones and they jump out to go and answer a call. I say, you're not planning to be blessed. Unless they call, of course, which I tell you, sit outside. You want to give somebody direction to where you are. But not, if you want to hear the word, quench the phone, sit down. At home, when it's time to sleep, put off the phone. They can call me at night. Did your wife travel? Is it business you're waking up at night? Put it off. Leave a voice note. Send me a message. I'll read it in the morning. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? Rest is a critical part of being blessed by God. God doesn't like people who struggle with Him in arranging their own lives. Is that how you do it? Or He does it? When He does it, you obey Him. Do you follow my point? See, this life, let me tell you, it's not everything you can handle. It's not everything you can plan. If people don't think you are irresponsible sometimes because of your faith is not big enough. When they are trying to help you have everything arranged, they see you don't seem to be interested. Then your faith is working. I have a rule. I read in my Bible, God gave them a compulsory rest every seventh day. So no matter how blessed I am, I don't believe you should walk every day. One day out of seven, our rest is not Saturdays. You get my point? Uh-huh. But one day out of seven, just sleep. Wake up late. Watch Mount Zion. Yeah, I'm telling you, watch it. Just sit down there, cross your leg. Don't even cook. Just tell them, say, no food, don't cook in. Everybody, so gari or chop, drink tea, they chop. Do you get my point? Just bring cornflakes, mix it. I'm not lighting fire. Just cross your leg. You get my point? Just rest. Do that at least once a week. In a month, sometimes do it 3 days, consecutive days. Pastor, are you not going to preach? No. Who will preach? Let Pastor Kebute preach. Let Pastor Dami preach. Let Elder John preach. Where are you? I'm at home. Pastor, are you not feeling well? Yes, I'm not feeling well. Remember that guy you told me about? He went for Bible school, training. They were calling. They say, are they hospital? I must say, he turned and looked at him. We're in church. You say you're in the hospital. The guy said, I did hospital. He put up his phone. Well, he knew what the people, because it was church, he knew people around heard him. He turned to them and said, you were, now you're there. He said, here, we are sick. We came from. Because they were troubling his life. The guy said, I came to hear something. Okay, I'm sick. Dude, I used to do that thing when I was serving those days. And if I'm praying, my friends, I shared an apartment with a pharmacist. So, guys, in the military barracks. 2-bedroom apartment. So, if I'm praying, if he opens my door, he's a Muslim, he won't disturb me. He'll close the door and go. But if I'm studying, he will come and say, hey, oh boy, what's in the apple? He will be disturbing. And that study was very important to me. So now what are they doing? I started studying on my knees. So when I want to read the scriptures, I will kneel down and put it on the bed. I kneel like we will open the door. Someone like this opens the door like this, he sees me on my knees, he just closes it, he's praying. Meanwhile, I'm reading my Bible. Whatever you have to do, rest. That's the point I'm making. It's the reason why Kingdom Word, from inception, I didn't even discover it over time, from inception, first weekend in December, we close to first weekend in January. I'm not preaching. What am I doing at that time? I used to just do honeymoon things. Because as my children were growing up, my mother-in-law was alive and well at that time. She carried all, we just go and drop all of them there. My wife and I will just stay at home. Just doing next to nothing. Brethren, rest. Please, rest does not mean you must go abroad. If you have the money, go. You can go to your village, it's also rest. In fact, that's probably restier than, because you see, traveling, pack baggage, they go to the airport, queue, the flight delay. You see them sometime on television, they will sleep for airport for 24 hours. So go to where you can. Sometimes it's inside your house, you lock your gate from outside, then jump the fence to enter. So everyone, so that people will see, they won't come and disturb you. Whatever you have to do, rest. It's important because people hustle too much and God doesn't like it. The biggest gifts he'll give you is when you are asleep. That's why I told the story of Eve. When you are not doing anything, when you finally put on your phone or you return, we have been looking for you. And they give you the proposal. They give you the offer. You now see what you'll be earning. Now let's talk about income. All right, what you earn in the next 6 months is more than what you earned in the previous 6 years. And don't think they will go to your competitor. Your blessing is not randomized. It's yours. If it's yours, it will wait for you. If it did not wait, it was not yours in the first place. Then the other one, I think this will be the last one I'll mention. Maintain good spiritual values. Please, brethren, in everything, maintain scriptural spiritual values. In every little thing. In how you greet your husband, go and learn from the scriptures. I keep on saying to people, Sarah, did not call the husband honey. As good as honey is, that was not what she called her husband, that the Bible said was good. Call her husband, sir. Is honey bad? No. My beloved is mine. It's in the scriptures. I'm not saying it is wrong. But the one that is commended, says Sarah respected her husband so much, she called him Lord. The word Lord there is what more than they would call sir. The point I make is a value. It's a value system. Whatever, I always use that because it's one area people refuse scriptural values. Scriptural values, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of womb is his reward. Blessed is a man that has what? A quiver full. Stop laughing at those that have 6 children because you think 1 is the best, 2 is the best. No. You see, what is the name of this man? By Elton. He had only 1. And he was a successful man of God. Are you getting my point? Now, so we're not saying that everybody must have 6, but just have the value system. And he said the reason why he had only 1, he said raising children was going to be a distraction for his ministry. That is a summary of it. I'm talking about what? Values. Take Mary as an example. There are things you should value. You see, value is created though. That is like you sit down and decide for yourself. Like, for example, I told myself long ago, if people mock marriage, I will not laugh. Because if they insult my father, it's never fun. Do you follow my point? If they insult the head of state in my presence, I don't laugh. See, I told my classmates, you know, we keep on, why we're quite a relatively successful, you know, class group. Yeah. One of the things they used to say, please do. When you want to insult the president, get ready for Pastor Banky's problem. I quarrel. Because he's like a father to the country. You can't be insulting elders where I am. Let's even forget the president. Elders. Why do we just because we live in a democracy, you everything you like, just open your mouth and talk. And you'll be calling the head of state names in the open. It just shows you don't have manners. It's lack of manners that's worrying you. You just get up and learn values. You grow. One of my brethren brought his son to Nigeria to go to school. My sister was telling me the other day that the girl, the boy, I've been growing up in America, but the father had a very good habit. So he was talking one day in her house. And the boy said, look at this man. Talking to her father, his father. She told herself, they will mend you here. You don't reach Nigeria. We'll go rearrange you. A year later, one day the father came. The boy said, after asking the father, good afternoon, sir. So she laughed. The boy had gone to a secondary school in Nigeria, a mission secondary school. They had taught him the fear of God. The boy had picked pain. They don't whip him, bum bum. Said, this is not America. You don't have rights here. Here, only your father has rights. Do you get my point? And they let the father will sign that we will flog him if necessary. Do you know what? The man was happy. And his son called him sir. For the first time in his life, the man was like, wow. Who knows that you're 13? I told you I was in the bus in the United States. Finished work, going back home. Then the bus was full. And an elder, a senior person came in. I looked around, nowhere for her to sit. I just jumped from my seat. Please, ma'am, if I can have my seat. If you see the, oh, that's so nice of, they appreciated it. Maybe around, everybody minds their business. But where I come from, elders don't stand and lean in a bus. When you are sitting down, do you plan to live long? No, you don't plan to. I just got up from my seat. Please, ma'am, you can have this seat. And I will do the standing. Somebody will soon get up. We'll soon get another bus. Or somebody will come, they come down. But as long as there are elders on this bus, I can stand. Learn and keep real values. Real values. You must learn them. Imbibe them. Even if there are things you don't practice personally because there's no need. You get my point? But at least, it's what you teach, it's what you keep as your values. This is very critical. Because the world has a way. Like there's something one of my children posted on his status the other day. And there's one Nigerian guy. He's a Christian, obviously. He talks funny, you know. He makes TikTok videos. So my son put on his status. I had to give the thing a thumbs up. They showed one girl talking to one guy. Said, so you don't smoke? The guy just timidly said, no, I don't. No, I don't. You don't drink? You don't do drugs? You don't do drugs? No, not at all. Says, so you are just one boring, dumb, give one name. The guy now picked up. He said, in this world of today, if they call you boring, it means you are doing what is right. So what they do right is to shame good behavior. Yeah, you're still a virgin. They make you look like it's a bad thing. And that's why we need to let people know some things are good. People don't want to attract you to their evil, this thing. Like I told you, the day one guy asked me, he said, do you have light? You wanted to smoke on a campus. The way I answered him was, he said, you think you're better than me? I said, are you doubting it? Yeah, I told him, I said, are you doubting it? You have a bad habit I don't have, and you want to say you're not better than me. I am better than you. How else do they spell better? You smoke and I don't smoke. I don't mean you won't go to heaven, but smoking is worse than not smoking. How are you trying to make? I didn't start the issue. Now you, I did my own. You can't ask whether I get fired. I don't get fired. So are you better than me? No, that's why I answered him. I said, are you doubting it? He wanted me to not say, no, that's not what I meant. That was what I meant. I don't mean you can't be saved. I don't mean you can't go to heaven. But that to make me ashamed of not smoking and tell you smoking, you are bolder than me. You are not bolder than me. You are stupider than me. Maintain scriptural values. Please let me end with this. I've finished everything I want to say in that area. I just want to end with this. And that's the fact that, brethren, let us expect our lives to be different. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
When you hear there's violence in the land, tell the Lord, you promised it will not come near me. It's in the scriptures. The Bible says you will hear of it. Say, but it won't come near you. It's in Psalm 91 like that. Expect your life to be different. You are approaching retirement, you don't have $100 million saved. If you're a dollar person, you don't have $500,000 there yet. Don't panic. Say clearly, the Lord will take care of me. Don't look at your neighbor, he's lucky. He has 6 children that are successful. They will take care of him. No, the Lord will take care of him. You know what they have realized? I've learned it from that time. God blesses you, then it takes your faith away from the blessing. You get my point? And better remove your faith quickly from that blessing. Keep your eyes on him. For example, you can believe God, you know, pray, do everything, and God makes you very rich. This time you open your account, 500 million naira. You spend, you give, you do everything, 700 million naira remain. You spend, you give, you do everything, 800 million. It's as if the blessing is coming quicker than your ability to use it. The day you suddenly start feeling that my children will never have problems because I have a lot of money, God will suddenly give you 2-3 problems that money can solve. I saw one tweet that I gave long ago. There was a particular, he said that God does not need the devil to train his children. Some people think that trials are from God. I replied the tweet. I quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I said, he made you hungry, then he fed you with manna, that he might humble you and make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God shall a man live. He said, who says that God doesn't give trials? He gives trials. He brought Baasha against Asa that he, God, might destroy the army of Aram. Asa failed the test. So please, nobody should tell you that God doesn't bring troubles. He does. But I'm telling you why he does. Never allow the blessing he has given you to be the source of your confidence. If you feel like, look, you get to a point, you feel like you know people. You have the phone number of the IG. The commissioner of police in charge of Enugu State. It's your father's uncle. Your father's cousin. The VC is your friend. You're a classmate in university. Look around town. Half of the commissioners proceed to greet you. To now, because you are the man of God now. God is just watching you. Then you're now going around town looking for trouble. Because in the 82 deep there, the GOC ate dinner at your house last week. God said, this boy don't connect. Oh. Then he will give you, oh God, God will give you one trouble. God will tell one angel, disconnect him. He will give you a trouble that all of this will put together cannot solve. So you have to train yourself in not being a connection person. So you are going on the road, they say you beat traffic light. Clear. Don't call anybody. For you, maybe somebody who's not connected can call somebody he knows, and God knows that he's looking for help. But you are so connected, God knows that nothing, a phone call, this will go away. I said, no, park there. Don't say anything. The man said, you beat the traffic light. I said, I don't think I did. Argue normally. If you can prove that you did not, then go. If they prove that you did, pay their fine. That fine is an offering. No? God says, pay that fine. Pay it. Looking at you like this. He said, you go to MOT office. He said, no need to go to MOT office. What's the fine? Let me have it here. Open your app. Transfer their fine. Let them print the receipt and give you. The next week, when your friend sees you, was it you that they stopped last week? It's me. Why didn't you call me? Okay, I have to give offering to God. That money is an offering of humility. Do you get my point? You offered it. God knew. He set you up. One angel to make green look black to you. And to make red look green to you. You drove past. Then you clear your eye. You see it clearly. They showed you that you beat it. Just that you might know. Is to make you hungry, then feed you, so that you will know. Because blessings have a problem. They breed self-confidence. It's one of the exercises of increasing maturity. God blesses you. It starts breeding self-confidence. You have to turn to the blessing, say, you are not my God, you are my money. You are not my God, you are my children. Evil connection, you are not my God. We are all fellow servants of God. Only God is my God. It's very important
Christians, don't forget this. Expect your life to be different. The world has systems to preserve its own people who are under a curse. You are not under a curse. You have a heavenly Father. Thank you for giving me this time. Bow down your heads. And I just say, Father, we thank you.